Mr. Lister, Reel 2. We were talking about your training at the drill hall. Did you do anything else on a drill night?
Well, there was always something, not always, but quite often there was something. The 8th Battalion was a very keen sporting battalion, and they had boxing.
On the drill nights?
On the drill nights, and sometimes you went for a run or whatever, you know. I did physical training and exercises.
I presume you'd be all right at all that.
Oh yeah, never any bother with that stuff.
Anything else you did?
I can't say that the officers and NCOs had messes, separate of course, but I mean, had messes and they stuff, messmates and that sort of thing. Nick sometimes got roped in as waiters or washing up or something like that. And there was a small group of some quite close to him, and some of them had a sort of a concert party in the way, performed at officers' mess dos and also warrant officers and sergeants. And it was two of them. Used to do a terrific two-man act, and I was friendly with one of them, and he worked me into it because I had a fairly good sense of humour, and so we made it the three thing. Like, and we used to do this, and I was smashing the time, and we also went and over pubs and did it, you know, on other nights because.
What was it? A cross talk act?
Yes, it was song and talk thing. It was terrific. Nice climb upon my knee, Sonny Boy Ape, and the original. But and he was comparatively small, and his original partner was quite big and fat, and he used to climb on his knee when he'd say, "Climb on my knee, Sonny Boy," and put a baby's hat on, you know. It's quite funny.
Now, what about the Saturdays? That was where they taught you how to shoot.
Yeah, well,
how did they go about that? Had you fired a rifle before?
Oh, no. We went through the motions at the rear of the drill.
Was that with a .22, or did you actually fire anything there? Or?
No, thanks. At the Enfield 303, you learned how to handle that and how to load it. And, as I say, with thanks, and you learned your fire orders and things like that, and how to sight and aim and whatever. And then after a time, I can't remember exactly how much, but after a time I went on live firing, but that was usually a full weekend. We went to Whitburn Ranges on a Saturday morning and came back on a Sunday night. We stayed in the woods with them and did a proper shoot.
How did you do?
Oh, not too well, I'm afraid. With the rifle, and then.
What did you have trouble with?
What?
You say you didn't do too well with the rifle. What?
Only too well.
Only too, sorry.
Yeah,
what do you think made you a good shot?
I'd always had as a kid, I'd always had a reasonably good air rifle and spent a lot of time. And shooting targets and shooting all kinds of rabbits and everything, but I mean, you know, I knew what I was doing, and that was it. And I loved the old Lee Enfield 303, and when they...
What did you like about it?
Well, it's a funny thing. It was 14, 18 rifles, and they were being well used, and they were considered to be somewhat antiquated, but they were a lovely balance thing with the old fashion sights with the V at the back and the pin at the front, line the pin center the foresight in the center of the U or the back sight to aim. During the war, when I brought these things with the old rings of a different sight, I didn't like them at all, and I managed to hang on to me. Lee Enfields, and I was quite pleased. Strange thing, a lot of blokes like Lee Enfields and preferred them to anything else. And one of the most famous champions of Bisley League fired Lee Enfields long after the war had finished successfully.
So did you do any other training? So you had drill night on Saturdays. Did you do anything else on Saturdays? What sort of thing would they be?
Well, crawling across fields and this sort of business.
Pretend attacks?
Yes.
And how realistic were they from your own later experience?
In retrospect, they were rubbish.
What was rubbish about them?
Well, they were way behind the times, you know. You didn't see masses of infantrymen crawling over fields in my experience during the war. You kept reasonably well spaced and wherever possible, as soon as possible, so that you didn't make too much of a target. I mean,
were they like Boer war tactics or First World War tactics that they were teaching? Did you do fire and movement at all? You know, the sort of thing they did do in the Second World War.
Not in the TA training. You got a good basic idea of how to fire a rifle and how to drive a vehicle. Whatever you happened to be your specialty.
Did you learn to drive there?
No, I could drive when I was 11 years old.
Who taught you to drive then?
I went to school at the private school with two brothers whose father had a bus company in the county. They used to go to their home and in this big yard and garage, home base, and I learnt to drive in an old car in the yard. It was untouched, it was a big, very piece of self-fit. And also learnt to drive a bus, and I was only about 12 years old, I could drive a bus.
So did you take that as a specialisation in the, you know, as a territorial?
After I'd sort of become reasonably qualified in the TA, about the old 1508 guy took some... Just before the mobilisation, you know, I'd started to drive when I was available at weekends for this major tailor, this 1508 for him.
You'd wanted to do that, had you? Did you enjoy driving?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
You didn't have your own car, though, did you? In your civilian life, at that time?
I had the case of the firm's van by that time, and so there was no particularly need for me to have a car, because if I wanted to travel back and forth, I could always do it in that. Without going to trouble of buying a car, but I did have a motorbike.
So you drive to Major Taylor about the place?
Yeah.
On a weekend?
Went and got stores and things like that. Or went to different companies to exchange stuff and borrowed it.
So you stayed in headquarters company?
Headquarters company till...
Were you made a driver? Or were you just...
Sorry, I was fully qualified.
What about, before we go, to the rest of your training, how about, I mean, did they teach you the Mills bomb during your TA training?
Yeah.
When did they do that?
Not long before the war started. I've been in quite some time before that.
Did you throw live ones?
Pulled a pin out of a live one. Got rid of it as fast and far as I could.
Could you throw them far?
Quite a fair way, yeah.
Because you'd played cricket, hadn't you?
Yeah.
About how far?
I pitch them rather than throw them, lob them to get the best effect, like if you could. Rather than throw them direct, because...
So you threw them up in the air?
Yeah. Lobbed them. Sort of a half circle. At a certain objective, whatever it was. It was better to do it that way than try to throw one. If you throw a stone across a river, because
flat.
Yeah, because if you did make a slight mistake, or slip, might land 2 yards in front of you and blow somebody's head off. Whereas if you were not. Even if you didn't throw it correctly, you really landed somewhere safe.
What about other weapons? I mean, you mentioned the mortar, the Bren gun.
When we got Bren guns.
That was before the war, though?
Yeah, I was good at that as well.
Were you taught that at Whitburn as well? Ranges?
Yes.
What did you think of the Bren as a gun?
Great.
What did you like about it?
Reasonably simple, and not with all the. If you took the whole ship, it was a pretty heavy thing, but just the Bren gun on its own, it was easy to run around with,
Had you?
Not too far distant, but you could put a small tree, sapling, in two with one. People said you couldn't, but you could. Up to about 200 yards.
Did you actually do it?
Yeah. But it used to spread a lot after that. It wasn't particularly accurate.
Did you? I mean, it was replacing things like the Lewis gun. Did you ever use that?
Never used the Lewis gun. I never used any kind of machine gun. I used the Thompson submachine guns.
But you wouldn't get them before the war, would you?
No. Well, the Thompson submachine guns came in 1939.
Before the war started?
Yeah. But we didn't
have any. What about the Boy's anti-tank rifle, did you see any of them?
Yes.
What did you think of
them? I didn't fire one, but they were pretty useless because they had no penetration.
Did you know that before the war?
Oh no, I thought it would be.
What about the mortar? Was that a specialisation, or did you all learn?
It was a special course.
You didn't learn to fire them then?
Not in the TA, I didn't. And I never fired a 3-inch mortar in my life, but I did fire a 2-inch smoke and whatnot.
So, Any other training? Was it before the war broke out?
Not that I can think of. It's a bit of Fred Karma's effort. Nothing wrong with them, I'm not knocking them, but they enjoyed it.
Did you get on with the men? The other drivers and drivers?
By that time, I got over my school trawlers and I've been working, with all kinds of reflex and seals and God knows what. I used to drink the fair share. And
did you socialise with them?
I used to drink a fair bit with them and whatnot,
You were still a private when the war broke out.
Yeah.
What about your NCOs? What were they like as trainers, instructors in the TA?
Some of them were quite good, because a lot of them were pretty old soldiers,
Were they First World War men, many of them?
A lot of them were,
Did you look up to them for that, or...?
I think we did, yes. Some of them, doesn't matter what war or whatever, some blokes you don't respect at all, but quite a lot of these blokes, I don't remember.
What made a good instructor or a bad instructor or sergeant at that time?
A bad instructor was a bullying instructor, because you never get the best out of anybody by bullying them and bawling and shouting at them. You always get the best out of you. Show them what to do and try and persuade them to do it reasonably, And there were very few bad ones, actually. One or two old style, I'm sergeant major this and that and the other thing.
What about the officers? You were in headquarters company. Did you have an officer that you remember?
It was the adjutant, the CO, the adjutant, the education officer.
Do you remember who the CO was in the 8th?
Colonel Kirkup was the...
Kirkham.
Kirkup, K-I-R-K-U-P, was the colonel when I joined, but to tell you the truth, I can't remember the name of the colonel when I left.
That's all right. But what did you think of the officers? Did you see much of them in peacetime?
I knew quite a lot of them. The young officers, second lieutenants and that. And the other from school days, or cricket or rugby.
Which ones did you know in particular? Do you still remember the names, or...?
Yes, it was the MTO, we call him Coates, Tom Coates.
He'd be your officer if he was...
Yeah, it was...
Did you not mind, an old school chum being your officer, or did it not bother you by then?
It never occurred to me, and I don't think it occurred to them too. We were on one of those exercises you asked me about, and I'm crawling across a field, close all with a line which was supposed to be keeping straight, God knows why. And this voice next to me, he was second lieutenant in the 8th Battalion, but he wasn't in Birmingham, it was at Chesley Street, And he says, "What the hell are you doing here?" None of that. And I said, "What are you doing here?" He says, "Good God, man, why aren't you enough?" He said, "I said, because I'm not ready to drive it." I said, "I can't afford big offer, to be enough." And he said, "What a dirty pity." And they called him Turnbull. He was killed in the war. He was killed in France, I think. But he was quite surprised to find that I was a private, so...
Had you thought of applying to be an officer? Was that just impossible because of the money, or...?
It was more or less impossible financially, if that was. Well, I made it here, it's, I felt... anything about me, I would try and get myself promoted and know this sort of discipline, possibly take a mission, that's the other. read a lot about military history and things like that. And in modern warfare, you're liable to live longer if you're a private soldier than you're willing to be an officer. Pick them out, especially. It is just that.
So you were happy enough as a...
Yeah, I was, yeah. I mean, I always managed to... I was popular, I didn't fall out with anything, I can't remember. I'm afraid with more than two in all the time I was in the tennis. That would be probably some petty thing, being close to being inebriated on some occasions.
What about summer camp? Did you have a summer camp?
Yeah.
Where did you... would you have two, 31 and 38, one and 39, or...?
No, the 39 one was scrubbed because of the quarters.
Where did you go in 38 then, do you remember?
Yeah, I think it was Wales. I know, I remember going to Wales.
And what were you doing on that camp? So, like, the things you'd done on Saturday, but just more of you, or...?
More of you, more in the form of manoeuvres, you know.
Did you enjoy the camp?
Can't say that I did, because as far as I can remember, it was bloody wet all the time.
Was it like the Boy Scouts camps, or...?
No, not really. Standard of food wasn't particularly good.
Was that your first army food?
No, we used to have a weekend efforts when we were down at Whitburn, that sort of thing. But it was the first that existed more than 2 or 3 days on it.
And you weren't impressed?
I wasn't impressed at all. Because mine, a great deal there. As I found out in a very short time, a great deal had to do with the fit they were cooking and stuff, and not so much the stuff that they were provided with.
Now, so when, by the time the war broke out, you'd become a driver.
Yeah.
You were attached to headquarters company was the MT section, and that was your, that's what you were in the army at that time. Now, what do you remember about the mobilisation? You know, what... And the outbreak of war.
Well, I think as you asked me before, we had a pretty good idea that was coming up, but not exactly when. And I was working in Hartlepool in the lodgings at the time, and they called the people Baker, and I went in from the fish quay. In the office on the fish quay, well, it'd be probably about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and his chubby's wife said, this has just come for you, and it was the report they made at me.
And what date was that? Do you remember?
It was 2 days, the war was on the Sunday, didn't it?
The 3rd.
Eh?
On the 3rd, yeah.
Yeah, that was the 2nd, 1st.
The Friday.
It was on the Friday, yeah.
And how did you feel when you got your call up?
Excited at first. Thought, well, you know, this is it. Then you began to think about it and you had some second thoughts.
In what way? What do you mean?
Well, what's it going to be like, you know, all this sort of business, but...
Had you heard much about what the First War was like?
Oh, yes.
Had your dad been in it?
No, he was physically unfit because of an injury that he sustained as a young man to his arm, his left arm. He couldn't bend his elbow. It had been broken and reset at an angle. You know, and there was nothing you could do about it. Plus, his eyesight wasn't terrible.
What about other people, other veterans you'd met?
I don't feel it was a captain in the Royal Artillery, another one that was a chief engineer of the Merchant Navy during the First World War,
Had they told you what it was like? I mean,
yeah, well, that's it. My uncle was wounded quite severely in 1917. And he claimed that, he claimed to be a priest at one of these colleges, you know, and Lichfield. And the war broke out, and he got a commission in the artillery, as I said. And he was a captain in 17, and he was wounded, and eventually he didn't go back in action. He had a silver plate installed in his skull where the bone had been smashed. And he was accepted for the police force. He decided to be a policeman. And
did the people like him put you off?
No, he didn't actually. He didn't encourage me, but he didn't put me off. He said you must do your own thing. But he said, I've told him a lot of my experiences. He said it was a terrible thing. But he said, I'm sure it couldn't be as bad again, although I don't think it was all that much better, especially in the early days of the 39th Regiment.
So you were quite realistic about, you knew that what...
I knew that, I wasn't quite as fatalistic then as I was by the time I finished, but I had the attitude that if your name was on it, you got it, and that was it.
You started out with that?
Yeah.
So you got your call-up papers, yeah. That you were in Hartlepool,
yeah.
So what did you do? Would you get back on the Friday? Or would
yeah,
set? And what was happening at the drill hall?
Oh, it was all hustle and bustle. And,
was it the drill hall for the whole of the 8th or just one company? Should have asked
it was
that.
The 8th Battalion headquarters, the subsidiary of the 13th.
Were they all calling it? I mean, was everybody called back to the headquarters? And
their particular headquarters, yeah. And then the next day, that was the day before the war broke out, we took the best part of it. We had 1,508 guys and 1,508 Fords. We all went to Catholic and got new equipment and various things necessary, you know, and war cycles.
So you'd stayed overnight at the drill hall?
Yeah. And,
those were the trucks you were driving at the time, guys and Ford. What were they like then? That's what I meant. What were the guys like, firstly?
Well,
I've not heard of them.
Oh, well, they were open. Well, you know, they had a canvas top, but we used to use them open. To use the canvas top, you had to erect the metal framework and put the thing over. The canvas open. But they were very sluggish once you did get going. I think they were going to a very low degree. I can't remember exactly. No, I should know. What was it?
You had a governor, a thing to stop you going fast.
And they used to rattle like a bag of nails, even a brand new one. They used to...
Who made them? This was
the vibration. Guy Midlands.
And were they mechanically reliable? I mean, would
they were pretty strong. They were strong and sturdy things, but they took a lot of starting when they were called. And
you'd be using the starting handle, would you?
You did.